all that you've done for us, all that you've given us. Be thankful for this church, Grace Point Church. God, this is your church, your people. And we are thankful. Thank you for your faithfulness, God, in all things this week, and for the opportunity to gather together today as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship together, singing, fellowshipping, hearing your word and responding, seeing what you're doing in the lives of others. We gather for you. And when that is our focus, your supremacy in our lives, there's so many blessings that follow that. So we acknowledge it today in you, and we're thankful. Bless this time of teaching. May we hear you, God, in great ways. May we hear you today in great ways. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us here today. We're glad you're here. Reconnect Sunday. We're glad so many reconnecting with us today. And we are thankful, as I said before. I know in summertime it's easy to get out of the habit and there's a lot going on in schedules. But now we're getting into a routine and a rhythm with the fall and new schedules. So I want to kind of leverage that and encourage you to make Sunday morning part of your routine, of your discipline, of your new rhythm, if you will, for the fall. So I'm thankful that you're here today. And if you're joining us online, we're grateful also, as I said before. I know there are certainly some who are not quite comfortable coming, and so we want to respect that. And if you're not at that place where you're comfortable coming, or health issues or whatever, we want to encourage you to continue to join us online. And at some point, we know we'll all gather again as family. But thankful for all the family that's gathered back and reconnected with us here this morning at Grace Point Church. In just a moment, I want to talk to you about the church. I want to share some things with you. I'm going to step out a little bit from Colossians today. We'll swing back next week and pick up where we left off. But today I want to talk to you about the church and all that the church, and the blessing the church is to us and what the church is for. And let me just say up front, man, this is not a comprehensive message. I can't cover all the biblical truths about the church in 30 minutes or less. There's no way it's going to happen. So I'm just coming at one angle to talk about all that happens at the church and what the church does for us and how we're blessed by the church. Certainly we have a lot to give to the church too, and that calling. But this is focusing much more on the place of the church and the things that we receive as we engage with a local church. So I'll get there in just a moment. Six takeaways, they go pretty quick. We'll linger, and then the last two are pretty quick just for time's sake. But before we get there, let me mention a couple of things just to keep you as a church family connected with what's happening here at Grace Point. September 26th, if you're not a covenant member, we invite you to come to Grace Point 101. We have one about four, sometimes five times a year, depending on the year. And so we have our next class. This is an opportunity for you to come and to hear more about Grace Point, our ministries, our values, our missions, our staff, our history, just who we are, for the purpose of helping you as you're making your decision about where God wants you to be in terms of a church home. We want to be able to give you that information as you're praying towards it. This is who we are, so you know and have questions answered, and we answer any questions that you might have. So if you'd like to be a part of that, we surely would love to have you. After the third service, September 26th, childcare and lunch provided, we meet out in the lobby. It lasts about an hour and 15 to 20 minutes, maybe an hour and a half at the very most, as we talk through some material and some information about Grace Point Church. So we'd love to have you. If you're not a covenant member, come and join us. It doesn't mean you're a member. It's just you getting more information. And then if you pray over that and feel led, then you take that next step, membership. But that's just an introduction for you about who we are at Grace Point. Second, elder nominations are upon us again. Church families, if you're a member here at church at Grace Point Church, this is an opportunity for you. The way we elect elders is you as a church nominate these men that you believe would serve well as elders. So we're at that point of the year where two elders are rotating off the current elder board. So Jeremy Moon, I'm thankful for Jeremy, and Josh Sterling. Both of these guys have served three-year terms. The elders, according to our bylaws, served three-year terms. So they'll be rotating off at the end of December. They'll go through December, but we need a head start in the process. That's why I'm coming to you today, so you can start praying and begin thinking about who you can nominate to be an elder here at Grace Point Church. Now, I won't take time to go through all of this, but as you leave today, both sets of doors, you'll see on a table a packet of information about eldership here at Grace Point Church. And there's a list of qualifications, biblical qualifications for elders. There's an elders nomination form in there. And there's a letter from me on the front that you can read through. I say part of what I say in there is the structure of a church is an important issue. It is not, however, the most important issue. There are many other issues that have priority over this one: the deity of Christ, justification by faith alone, inerrancy of Scripture, substitutionary atonement of Christ, a few examples. However, just because it may not be the most important topic, it certainly does not make it unimportant. The form of government a church chooses to embrace is extremely relevant to the life and health of the church. And so I go in and talk about some other things in that letter, right, that you can read through there. We are an elder-led church. And so, you know, when we nominate two new elders, you know, they're part of the elder board that helps lead Grace Point Church. So if you're a church member, let me encourage you to pick one of these up on your way out and look through it. Or you can go to our website, gracepointdenton.com, top right corner, elder nominations. Everything I have here, also online. You can even submit a nomination form online, gracepointdenton.com. And then top right corner, you'll see a place to click for elder nominations. You can get all that information, okay? So we will have these out, gosh, probably for the next 4 weeks or so. For you to take September 12th through October the 10th, for you to make nominations of two that will take the place of these other guys, okay? All right, elder nominations, then two other things, then we're going to pray, and then we'll teach. Isaac's out another week, you know, he was out last week, and I texted him back and forth, talked with him last night. He asked me if you want me to share kind of what's going on. You know, I want to respect your privacy, but he's battling COVID. He has been for a while now. And he said, yes, you know, let the church know kind of so where I'm at and that the church can pray. He thinks he's on the tail end of it this weekend, and he started to see some improvement. But he's been battling it for a while now. So that's where he's been, and just we're going to pray for him in just a minute and others I know in our church family that are battling that too. I want to pray for anyone who's battling that and other things. In just a moment. So that's where he's been the last couple weeks. We'll see how the next week goes. We're thankful for Amy, Ruth, and Jess, who lead us with the worship team, and they just kind of step right up and take the lead. Next week, if Isaac doesn't make it, it will be me, Jeff, and Guy. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about that. That's going to sound pretty good. Bring your phones, and you might want to video that. And all royalties will come to Grace Point Church. So. So thankful for those guys, this team that leads, do such a good job. Last, and just to change, you know, shift gears a little bit here, change pace. You know, yesterday, 9/11, a lot of, I spent time kind of watching and, you know, the services and just reflecting back. I think we all remember where we were then. And it just reminds me of the devastation, just the loss of life, the people who lost loved ones who 20 years later, just shattered, and just of all that happened into our country and just everything that happened there. So I think we should pray. I just pray for all those families and intercede. That's what I want us always to do as a church. And we're talking about the church today there are times, you know, like these. And we had a few weeks ago where I think it's important for us to pause and to reflect and then to pray, to intercede on behalf of those, you know, who have lost loved ones and those who survived it but are struggling, and just where things are with that. So let's pray. Would you pray with me before we start teaching? And I want to pray for Isaac and then for all those others who are battling, whether it's COVID or their sickness, in our church family. Pray for this, the 9/11 member. So Father, we come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we come to you, not in our own position or worthiness or righteousness, but we come in Jesus' name. And we're asking, God, for Isaac and for others in our church family we know that are battling, whether it's COVID or whether it's other sickness. It can be so overwhelming, whatever it is, and discouraging and sometimes depressing and just scary, and a lot that people are dealing with right now. So we are praying, God, for their healing, Lord, that you would give them comfort as they walk through valleys, grace and peace, promise, God, your promises bring to their mind, your faithfulness bring to their mind, your presence bring to their minds, God, your goodness bring to their minds, the gospel bring to their minds. And we're praying for healing, God, in every situation. We pray for healing, Lord. We ask for that. We pray for, we think of September 11th and 9/11 and just the loss of life, the overwhelming, just unspeakable tragedy. So many lives lost, lives impacted forever, God. And people needing grace and peace and hope and encouragement. And so as a church, we're asking you, God, we're interceding on behalf of those, and we're asking you, God, to provide that hope in times of darkness, that peace in times of grief, encouragement in times that are discouraging and hurt. Lord, we pray, God, you will draw these people to you that are continuing to suffer and struggle. They would see you, God, even in the midst of this tragedy and pain. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hope in the scriptures. And even when we don't understand it all, God, that we can trust you. The gospel message, God, just may it permeate our hearts and minds. It's the truth of it, and that demonstrates your love for us. So may we always keep that of first importance. So thank you for Grace Point Church. Speak to us today through your word, God. May everything be shifted towards you today. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. And amen. Thank you for praying with us. And let's continue to pray as the Lord brings certainly people in our church to mind that are struggling. And even through this, September 11th tragedy, and we're remembering that. Okay, we're going to talk today about the church. I want to start off by saying, and I mentioned it last week, but just to remind you that Grace Point Church, first and foremost, Grace Point Church exists for the glory of God. Amen? That's first and foremost. There's a lot of other things we do, a lot of other things we're called to do. And we want to minister to you, and we want to encourage you and teach you and come alongside them. All that's important. But when things start to go bad, personal opinion, you trace it back. You trace it back. There's a shift where the focus has become all about the people, more so than the focus being all about God and the reason we gather. First and foremost, it's for the glory of God. You get that off center, you're going to have problems. You approach a church, whether it's Grace Point or any church, you approach a church where, hey, it's all about me. I'm going because of what they can do for me, and it becomes all about me. You're missing the whole point of why you're gathering. Happens all the time, man. All the time. People get ticked in and they leave, and it's because there's a shift of focus. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want to meet needs. I'm not saying that. Don't take that out of context. Doesn't mean that we want to encourage you. Doesn't mean we don't want to minister to you. We do. But when that becomes primary and we become more important than the purpose for which we were created, which is the glory of God, then it's just not going to end well. It's not healthy. It's an unhealthy church. That's inward focus, and it's all about me, and it's all about us. And so foundationally, we talk about the church today, and I talked about it last week, that we exist for the glory of God. So the church, Grace Point Church, exists ultimately. Again, there's a lot of other things we're called to do. I'm going to even show you some of these things the church does, but that has to be our focus, right? That we are here for the glory of God. So when we come into worship, we're coming in here for the glory of God and to worship God. Now, here's the deal. The great thing about it is when you keep that right, when that supremacy issue is settled, supremacy of Christ and the glory of God in your life and in my life and the life of our church, and you come in with that mindset, and you're amazed. It's amazing how God then begins to meet all these other needs that you have, right? And instead of that being your focus, right, you have your focus set, and then you see him doing these things in your life and in my life. So that's important, why we exist first and foremost for the glory of God, Grace Point Church. Second, let me make a couple observations about biblical definition of the word church. The word church in the New Testament never refers to a building or a place. Let's be clear about that. We talk about Grace Point Church. The New Testament church, Grace Point Church, it never refers to a building or a place, which means if next week all of our buildings were wiped out, Grace Point Church would still exist. Amen? Because it's not the building. It's us. You and me. We are the church. And that's the New Testament. The word church in the New Testament never refers to a building or a place. As a matter of fact, the New Testament word translated into English as church is ecclesia. Ek means out. Ecclesia means to call, and it refers to a gathering or assembly. So the word means a called out assembly. It's a New Testament word for church. So we are called out. The Bible says we are set apart for advancing the gospel, discipling the saved, all for the glory of God. So we are called out, and it's a gathering. It is an assembly. Church always refers to a people. So whether that's either the total number of all the believers who've ever lived, we could use the word, we've got to be careful with this word, but universal church, that being everybody who's Christ follower, we're all under one church. And that's what Ephesians 1, where he says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Okay, all the Christ followers, that's one church. That would be more the universal church, the whole number, all the redeemed who look to Christ, have looked for Christ for salvation in their life. That's the church, okay? That's the universal church. And then it speaks also in Acts chapter 2 of the local church, and that's kind of what we're going to focus in this morning. So Acts 2 speaks more also of a group of believers, more of the local church setting. Acts 2, 46, you start in verse 42, but I'm just going to take verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. This is Acts 2 is the first church, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So that, Acts 2, that's the first church. That's the more of the local church. One writer says it this way, I think, caption, church is a community of Christians living as the on-the-ground expression of the supremacy of Jesus by advancing his gospel in distance and in depth for his glory. That's the church. So today, as I speak, as I share with you today, my overarching focus, if you will, is going to be gathering and connection. Now, there's a lot of things, like I said, a lot of ways you can go when we start talking about the church. This Reconnect Sunday. So I'm talking about the importance of gathering connection, and that's what you're going to see me always circling back to when we talk about these different things the church really does for us and the place that it is for us. So let's start takeaway number one. We have six takeaways. Takeaway number one, first of all, the church is a place for relationships. The church is a place for relationships. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another one to lift him up. Listen, we need each other. You were never meant. God never intended for you to live this life in isolation. Never. That's exactly, as a matter of fact, that's exactly what Satan wants to do. Is he wants to isolate you from the body of Christ, from the church. He wants to isolate you from other believers. And God never intended for us to be that way. He intended for us to have relationships. And I think in the church, in the local church, he intends for us to have relationships. I hope for you that some of your deepest relationships are found, if you're a member of this church, in Grace Point Church. other brothers and sisters in Christ that you connect with. Now, that doesn't mean you aren't going to have good friends outside the church. I think that's good, too, that they go to another church or they live somewhere else. But my hope is that if you haven't, that at some point that you connect and you have relationships with people here that are deep relationships from people here at Grace Point Church. Because I think the church truly is a place for relationships and to connect, as we're going to see in just a few moments, with other people. When you look at the New Testament letters, the epistles written, they are not letters written to individual Christians. Most are written to whole congregations who have come together to help each other follow Jesus, especially in times of persecution when a lot of those letters were written, or difficulty. And they've come together. And so Paul and other writers are writing to gatherings, to the local church, to groups of people. We were never meant to do life by ourselves. When you look in the Bible at all of the one another's, there are, just in the New Testament, nearly 60 of them in the New Testament. Let me just, on the screen, not on your outline there, I'll give you an example of some of these. Love one another, John 13. Welcome one another, Romans 15. Care for one another, 1 Corinthians 12. Agree with one another, 2 Corinthians 13. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6. Forgive one another, Ephesians 4. Teach one another, Colossians 3. We just talked about that. Do good to one another, 1 Thessalonians. Show hospitality to one another, 1 Peter. It goes on and on and on and on. So there's something here about this relationships, about being together with other believers in Christ. Something powerful that I think we cannot get elsewhere. Now, a place for relationships. Now, let me talk for just a minute about the live stream. And so I'm a big live stream fan. I push that thing to get it to be better, and we always evaluate it to see how we can make it better. I think live stream ministry, I think it's an incredible ministry, no question about that. It does amazing things. As a matter of fact, through our live stream ministry, and other, not just us, but through that live stream ministry, the gospel can go around, literally around the world. I mean, to people in other parts of the world and even in the country. So it's a beautiful tool. I'm a big fan of live stream ministry. So probably most of you at one time or another, maybe you've watched the live stream. You're homesick or you're traveling. Sometimes I get texts or emails from people, especially in the summer, saying, hey, watch the live stream. We were driving back, which I love to hear that. Driving back from, you know, vacation or, you know, out of town the weekend, and they watched. And so it's a great ministry. We're going to keep that ministry. I'm always wanting to evaluate that ministry. How can we make that ministry look better? How can I look younger on the camera? Those types of things that are super important when it comes to live stream. And so it's a great ministry that we will continue to have. But here's what we need to realize. We need to recognize. Live stream worship, they can't, will never replace in-person gatherings. They can't. It can't. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. That there's this place of, there's this truth of relationship, and we're going to see in just a minute, of connection and worship, all these things that happen in community, in connecting, in relationships, in the local church. So again, I want you to hear that whole thing. I'm not against, I mean, when we had to do no in-person worship, online worship, only live stream worship. That was a wonderful thing. That's the way we stayed connected with all of you. So again, it's extremely beneficial. But we have to be careful that we don't get to a place in our minds where we think, well, it's just as good, or it's no difference if we just watch it on than if we come. That's where we have to be careful, and we want to recognize live stream worship never meant to replace in-person gathering. One writer says it this way: despite the blessings of a digital age, the Christian life, which is to say the churched life, is undeniably diminished when we are apart. Obeying the one another command from a distance is like writing letters in wartime. It may have to do for a while, but it's no substitute for the real thing. Live stream worship. I mean, first season, it might be a season that you, for whatever reason, and you're staying connected. And again, if you're watching live, I mean, I want you to watch live stream, you know, especially if you have health issues or you're uncomfortable coming. I want to continue, or you're out of town or sick or whatever it may be, right? That's what we have. But we also want to remember that it's a place for relationships, a local church. And those relationships happen when we gather together and worship together, which takes me to the next one. Takeaway number two, the church is a place for worship, corporate worship. The church is a place for worship. It's a place for relationships, a place where we come together and worship together. So why do we have to then go to church? So the local church, Acts 2 and others I'll show you, is God's intention for you and me. So why can't I just do it at home by myself? Because it's God's plan and intention and goodwill for us to come together, to worship together. We call that corporate worship. And that's the pattern you see in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, it's the early church, the first church that I mentioned, they gathered together. You see it again in Acts chapter 20, the importance of gathering together for relationship and for worship. You're building community and you're a part of a community of believers. So being rooted in the local church, okay, which manifests and involves being committed to a local church, becoming weekly to a local church, being rooted in the local church, it's not your plan and it's not my plan. The Bible is clear that this is God's plan. And it's God's idea that we would be together and we would worship together. And I would argue, you know, obviously as a pastor, I'm always going to argue, you've heard me say, I think it's every single week, every single Sunday, we get into that discipline and that routine. And that's really what we're forming again right now, right, with fall. We're having new rhythms and new routines and new things going on. And so I'm encouraging you as your pastor to make church a part of your weekly routine every single Sunday. You make that decision now. If we're in town and we're healthy, we're going to be in church. Now, the pressures on family life that make church difficult life make church life difficult and coming, I certainly recognize those. Probably enhanced, you know, by modern day life, if you will. But if we're not careful, I think, and I'm going to show you, it's easy to get out of the habit. Now, I think most people, I mean, I, my opinion and just my observation over the years is, a lot of people just fall out of the habit. And that's kind of why we were talking about Reconnect Sunday. Let's get back in that habit. I think very few people, you know, wake up on Sunday morning and go, hey, honey, guess what? Let's just go ahead and not go to church for the next 6 months. You good with that? You good with that? It just doesn't happen that way, right? It's just a gradual thing. And that's why I want to encourage you to be careful, to make sure you're intentional about that habit. Let me read from this one. I was reading this past week some different things on this in the church. And this one guy captured it well about busy life versus church life and how we have to be careful. Here's what he says. He says, as I've come into marriage and parenting myself, and I've watched others around me do the same, I've both sympathized and grieved over a common casualty in families, the church. He says, as we have found love and welcomed children and bought homes and invested in careers and cultivated friendships and people, hobbies, have we forgotten or neglected our precious and vital place in the people of God? He says, now 6 years in the marriage and 4 into fatherhood, I've felt the subtle ways that Satan casts the church against family life and family life against the church. The church, however, is not the enemy of the Christian family, but it's a devoted ally. Healthy families know how desperately they need the church, and they gladly build their lives around her in order to serve, nurture, and love her. They not only hope for family-friendly churches, but they strive to become church-friendly families. The church, the local church, it's a place for relationships. It's a place where we come together, connect, and worship together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. That's what I already just touched on that. Some got out of the habit, right? But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, if we were to take stop there, but we won't just for a second, and you read through that, I think there's an implied question after the phrase, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So I think that's an implied question. And I would argue that he answers the question with the next verse, where he says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. So he's saying, practically, how do we stir up one another to love and good works? How do we stir up one another? Go to church, he's saying. Go to church. It encourages one another. You being here, and I wholeheartedly just, oh man, just wish you could grab a hold of this. Because it took me a long time to grab a hold of it, certainly when I was younger. But your presence here encourages other people that you don't even realize. I wholeheartedly believe that, man. Your presence here is encouraging others in ways sometimes you don't even realize. Sometimes you hear about it, you know, people offer encouraging words, but most of the time we don't. It encourages people. I may see you here, and I have a chance to speak to you, or people that you typically sit around and they see you here on Sundays. It encourages me to see you here. So your presence, your faithfulness to church, encourages others to love and good works. And my hope is that it would also encourage you by being here. Without the ministry of attendance, we cannot be known. If we are not known, we cannot be encouraged. If we are not encouraged, we will not endure. We gather then in order to mutually encourage, and we encourage in order to mutually endure. This summons has everything to do with making it to the end, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Bible says you encourage others when you're in church. It's not Pastor Dave thing. The Bible says that you encourage other people when you're in church, when you come and you worship together. So it's a place of relationships. It's a place of corporate worship. Number three, it's a place to serve. It's a place for us to serve. We had Serve Sunday. So two thoughts here: to serve the church body, you know, whether you're greeting, whether you're teaching, whether you're working in youth, whether you're working in preschool children, whatever it may be. So that's an opportunity for you to serve. And then it's an opportunity for us as you come, as we then serve our community, people outside of our church. It's very Christ-like. Mark 10:45, Jesus said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I think a great local church serves its community, man. And this is why we want to continue to do things that press us to look outside of ourselves and continue to ramp that up. It's a process. I know that, right? That's why we're added in the backpack thing and to see what's next. Because here's what I know about Grace Point. Grace Point is you are an incredibly giving church. It is unmatched. I mean, it is giving and serving. And so you are on that. That is who we are. And so I want to just keep pressing that and giving you opportunities to walk that way, because that's who Grace Point is, a place to serve. You fit this perfectly. And so that's why, as we look outside of ourselves, we want to continue to do things like Coats for the Cold and the food pantry that continues to have people weekly and youth support and backpacks for kids and all these different ministries that look outside of ourselves. And so being a part of that local church, this local church, gives you an opportunity to serve. Can you serve in other places? Oh, yeah, you can. Sure, you can. And do that. I'm not saying we're the only place you can serve. But this is part of the calling of the local church. And if you're part of this church, this then is a place for you to serve others. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, Jesus said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Okay, the good works of serving others. And then what happened? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So that's what we're called to do as a church also, and this is a place for you to serve. Plenty of serving opportunities here at Grace Point. Takeaway number four, it's a place to connect, which we've kind of talked about already, but it's continuing that theme. It's a place for you to connect. We'll reconnect Sunday for you to continue to connect here at Grace Point Church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. This is the first church. Now listen what happened in this church, in this gathering. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers, and all came upon every soul. So everybody was impacted by this. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions. Right? So this is how they were connected in relationship with one another and serving one another. They sold their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So they're taking care of each other. And day by day, attending the temple together. So there's the fellowship and the relationship and the worship. And breaking bread in their homes. There's the connection. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. So ultimately, again, what's the purpose of the church? For the glory of God. And having favor with all the people. Now, this last part is powerful. Once we begin to live out the New Testament church, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So clearly, the early church was a together church. The early church was a together church, spending time together, eating together, meeting needs together, learning together, praying together, bearing burdens together, winning souls together. The early church was a together church. The church is a place of connection. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, listen to this. But exhort one another every day. So back when, when you think about when this was written, he says, but exhort, so encourage, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So that encouraging, your encouragement to others helps other people in their battles. But interesting, he says, but exhort one another every day. Now, that's constant, right? And remember, back in that day, they, of course, didn't have cell phones, text messaging, email, or Zoom. So how do you think that exhortation happened? Every day. Man, they had to speak it. They had to see people. They were in relationship with people, exhorting each other every single day. And we do that by coming to local church, but then as we go beyond, we have a lot of ways we can exhort and encourage people. You know, truly, we can use text messages, we can use emails, we can use phones, we can use all these different ways to encourage one another. But again, that flows from you being a part and connected to a local church. It's a place of connection. When we talk about the one another's that I talked about earlier, when you see them in the scriptures, they're all happening in the context of a local church. Let me just give you an example. It's not on the screen, but let me just give you an example. To the church of Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. So that's in the context of the local church. To the church in Rome, love one another. That's Romans chapter 12. To the church in Thessalonica, encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5. To the church in Ephesus, be kind to one another, Ephesians 4. So over and over again, we see that this one another is in the context of a local church. Because a local church is a place to connect with other believers. So the story God tells about the church, it's a gathered story. It's a one another story. It's a together story. And then our time has got us. So let me give you five and finish number six here in just a minute. So take one number five. It's a place for the gospel, certainly, right? Where we're teaching the gospel. We're talking about gospel-centered living. We're living out the gospel. We're learning what that means, you know, how that impacts my daily life and how the gospel comes into my daily life. And then as we teach the gospel, as I preach the gospel, as we hear the gospel, as we begin to live out the gospel and what that means in everyday life, we talked about the Colossians 3, the new life, and all the, here's what it looks like as we live that out. Then, as we go from this place, we're sharing the gospel. So in the context here of our church, it's a place for the gospel. We hear the gospel over and over again. We understand in greater ways the gospel. We understand what it means to be gospel-centered. We're growing, we're learning that. And then as we go out, we're sharing the gospel. Kirsten Eller, she grew up here at Grace Point. Her family's still here, Jeff and Karen, and their kids. Jeff has served as an elder And Karen served in a number of different areas. Their daughter, Kirsten, grew up here as in student ministry, and now she left and she's gone to college. And I saw a video where she had an opportunity to share the gospel and impact those with the gospel. So I want to finish with this today.
My name is Kirsten Ehler, and I go to school at UT Tyler. I'm in my second semester of grad school studying kinesiology.
So my name is Danielle, or Danny. I'm currently in Auburn, Alabama. I go to medical school at VCOM. I went to UT Tyler for undergrad, and that is where I became really good friends with Kirsten. The funny thing is we didn't actually meet at UT Tyler. We met at an ID camp in Florida.
I didn't think I would see her again after that, of course, but a few weeks later, she and I both showed up at UT Tyler for their soccer ID camp, and then we were assigned to be roommates freshman year. So it was really something only God could orchestrate. So it was freshman year that Danny found out that I was a believer in Christ, and I found out she was an atheist.
I grew up going to church, but I was very scientific-minded, and I hated people telling me that I had to just believe. I like to research, I like to do stuff like that, and the whole concept of evolution just baffled me, and that just really was not my
She definitely challenged my faith that year, asked me a lot of questions that I didn't know the answer to. It was hard for me to relate to her. I couldn't understand why she just couldn't believe.
Our freshman year, I would go in there and be like, okay, but then explain this. But then how do you explain this? And it was funny because her answers always puzzled me because I was like, oh, I never really thought about it that way. I remember sitting there one time thinking about, you know, if God created the world in 7 days, how, like, do you explain dinosaurs? And then, like, we obviously have these archaeological findings. She pulled up a passage in the Bible and was like, well, 7 days doesn't have to be defined as an actual day that we think of. And that, I just remember sitting there like, huh, you got me there, Kirsten, but I still wasn't 100% into it.
Also my freshman year, I talked to my coach and we had long conversations about Danny and some of my other teammates, but one thing she said that stuck out to me was, love them where they're at and not where you want them to be. And that stuck with me because I hadn't been doing that. So that day I decided to start loving Danny exactly where she was at, knowing that God placed her in my life for a reason. And I just prayed for her at least every day.
So I went a lot of times up and down with like depression and anxiety issues. And a lot of it was because I would focus on temporary happiness and little things that would make me happy. And then as soon as that ended, I would just like lose it. I reached out to her and I was like, you are always the happiest person that I've ever met. So I was like, what is it? And she said, well, it's God. And I was like, okay. I didn't really believe it.
Eventually, one day, Danny reached out to me and said, I want to learn more about God. And I was like, finally. But I texted her back and I was like, what made you decide that? And she just said that she was going through a rough patch and she saw that the joy that Christ brought me and she wanted that for herself. And so we started just diving into scripture together. I brought her to Grace with me every Sunday. She joined my small group at Grace, met a lot of cool friends there, had just the fellowship that she had never had before.
I think just knowing that somebody has your back, even when you don't see it, is amazing.
That went on for another couple months, just us reading together. And then one day I woke up one morning and she had texted me at like 3 o'clock in the morning saying, okay, Kirsten, I'm ready. I'm ready for salvation. And so later that night, when we FaceTimed, we prayed together and she accepted Christ into her life.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life.
Awesome is that, huh? Golly. Holy smokes. The place of the gospel, man, the church is where we hear the gospel, we preach the gospel, we live the gospel, and then even beyond these walls, we take the gospel and we share with others. And then last takeaway, number 6, is a place of hope. The church is a place of hope. And my prayer is that is what Grace Point has been to you and continues to be, and to hundreds of people that aren't even here yet, that they come here and that you come here, and every week that you hear the truth of hope in Christ and the hope of the gospel and the hope of the scriptures, regardless of what you're walking through, not to downplay it, but to speak of the hope that we have in Christ, and that when you come here, that you're encouraged, because this is a place of hope. And I finish with Psalm 27 and we pray. Matter of fact, let's stand together as I just share this, and then we'll pray together. At Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, and he will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon the rock. Church is a place of hope. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. So thank you, Father, for your word that points us to you, that gives us hope in all things. The Grace Point Church, God, you have assembled us for your glory, first and foremost. And then we advance the gospel, and we disciple the saved, and we minister and encourage and point people to you and offer hope and healing in Christ. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the people that are here, the people that make up this church, God. And I pray that you'll take us into deeper places, God, in fellowship and connection with one another. And that we'll also be reaching and looking beyond ourselves, outside of this church. Give us wisdom and leadership and direction, God, of how we can be even more effective in ministering to our community, to be light in darkness, so people will come to know you, God, and your grace and your peace and the hope that you offer. So now we just respond with worship to you, God. We are grateful for who you are, and thankful also for all that you've done for us. And so we worship you in Jesus' name. We pray these things. Amen.